Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Vice Magazine podcast, your definitive guide to enlightening information. For the second installment of our music issue coverage, we're highlighting a young collective known as the Pink Room Project, who are pushing the musical legacy of New Orleans into the future. The Pink Room Project, otherwise known as The Pink, is an artist collective founded by New Orleans natives Keith Cavalier, who is a 29-year-old producer known as Little Jodeci, and Brandon Ares, a 25-year-old rapper. They host monthly parties and weekly DJ nights across the city that span a number of genres, from bounce to rap to house music. Lawrence Burney, staff writer at Noisy, went down to New Orleans this past August to hang out with the founders and write about their collective for the music issue. Here he is in conversation with some of its members.
So yeah, right now at Vice HQ, we got Lil Jodeci, Rick 50, Brandon Ares, and Yves, all from the Pink Room, all from New Orleans. So yeah, if you guys could just say what's up for a second.
Lil Jodeci checking in.
Rick 50, what's up?
Welcome to Joe Swell. Brandon Ares.
If you guys could kind of go in to telling me what the Pink Room Project exactly is it a musical group? Is it a community? Is it just a collective? What exactly is the Pink Room?
If you feel some way, cause I don't give a fuck if you do. If you feel some way, if you feel some way, if you feel some way, cause I don't give a fuck if you do. If you feel some way,
you live a lie, bitch.
It's a collective, it's a community. I mean, it's all inclusive. It was just like everybody bringing in their talents to the table, and I was throwing parties, and me and Brandon saw that the parties was getting bigger, so we just took it to the next level and created a vibe. We wanted to come up with something that we could give the people, like, as a whole, like, as a unit, without just being individuals. But, like, the point of this is, like, everybody being an individual and being inclusive. So it's not like we're a boy band or, like, Maroon 5 or something like that. You know what I mean? We everybody does their own thing.
Right.
And then, like, we get together like Megatron and, you know what I'm saying, what's the Captain Planet? You're like, okay, all five of us get together. Then, right. Then we one thing as the Pink Room, but right, we all do our own thing.
If you feel some way.
So Brandon, when did you and Kev meet?
It's kind of ironic because, like, we actually went to the same school, like, back in high school, but I didn't know him at the time. And I met him once I moved back to the city because I was, like, kind of, like, had to move around from, like, Katrina and stuff like that. So I was, like, kind of removed from the city for a bit. And then once I actually came back, I started going to, he had, like, something called the Dojo. I was going to that. And he was bringing all type of artists together that was, like, just outside of, like, what the, like, normalcy of, like, what New Orleans is known for. And so it was, like, kind of, like, the breeding grounds of, like, what's going on now. And, like, we kind of just linked. I just remember one night I came over there and I was like, we like finished making music and I was like living out my car at the time and I was like, yo, I got over the goat. I was like, I can just sleep in my car outside. He was like, yo, you can sleep in here, sir. It's cool. Like, but you got to be out this bitch in like 2 days.
Right.
So
here we are 3 years later.
Now it's like almost 3 years.
God, I wonder why I could see the sky. I really don't care if I live or die. These niggas out here just think they fly. If they want it, they could get it. I really don't got much to lose tonight. Don't come to my city acting tough. 12 dread head niggas can call you bluff. They want all the cheese, all the sauce. They want all the bread, all the crust. They'll do it happy and do the hustler. Beanie weenie on you, motherfucker.
What was New Orleans like before the Pink Room? Would you say is what you provide to the city now that didn't exist at all in New Orleans before, or was it starting to happen? Or
I mean, nobody, no one individual can take the credit for what's going on now because they got pockets of shit that's happening. But put it like this, after Katrina, people was thirsty for something to happen, but no one knew how to do it, and then everyone was just like trying to find a pocket of their own. To answer your question, the scene was, it wasn't like it is now when you came down there. You know what I mean? It was just, it was, when he came to the dojos, it was, like, we probably had, what, 50, 60 people in the room? You know what I mean?
When I was down there, it was, the house in the Seventh Ward, it felt like at least 300.
Yeah.
200, 300, it was a lot. But what would you say, what do you think the effect of Katrina was on the music scene?
It was more commercial. It wasn't a vibe for shit that I was into. So,
yeah, it was more like like the extremes as far as like the spectrum goes. It was like bounce party, rap show, or big house nightclub EDM.
Yeah, like club.
Like, you
shit,
know, like boom, boom, like. But like the EDM, like no one likes. Like,
they did have smaller pockets. They have guys before us that came and was popping shit off. But it wasn't like translated.
Like in 05?
No, we talking, that's about, what I'm talking about 09.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm
like Katrina, 09, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like years, like gap. Because it's like Katrina was 05. I mean, granted, like I said before, I was kind of away from the city for a while. And, I didn't
and
really
all of y'all were really
like
young
13.
Around that time also.
Yeah. I was 13.
Right.
Yeah.
I was 17, so.
Yeah. Who is all in the Pink Room Project? Because y'all have people in the crew that do a little bit of
all
everything.
All types of shit. We collective.
Renaissance. Renaissance, man.
Brandon probably could tell name everybody.
Yeah, we got, you know what I'm saying? Shout out Free Trial. Shout out. We got Rick 50 in the building.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. Me and Free Trial, we do, like, the radio show, which is Pink Radio. So that's, like, a branch. Shout out Johnny. Thunderfuck. He'll play like the SoundCloud rapper who got like 200 followers. Quick Weave, he's got like a terabyte hard drive of like
random house.
Deep house pockets from like Miami. He's got like records that like date from like 78 that you can only get on vinyl.
Right.
He has digitally like on a hard drive all the way to like now. And then, you know, Cav is like definitely like world DJ, like open format. I mean, Rick makes clothes.
Yeah,
weird. He's popping right
Rick
now.
If you could talk about like how you got into the group, I thought that was interesting because when I was down there, one thing that stuck out to me about y'all party and your events is that it seems like it's really reflective of what not only New Orleans is right now, but I just notice a lot of mid to large cities in America just moving in that direction as far as this mesh of locals. And you might have some hood dudes, you might have some art school kids, you might have some frat university looking types, because it was like some LSU kids that rolled up in there. But Rick, your story is kind of perfect for the situation, because you were telling me that you kind of got stuck in New Orleans by mistake and ended up. So yeah, if you could talk about like getting how your path to New Orleans started.
Yeah, well, so basically I'm from Seattle. I grew up there, and me and my friend, like around last summer, last fall, 2016, right? Yeah, 2016. We decided we wanted to drive around the country and just find somewhere new to live, go towards New York. Just kind of had this idea that everything would just work out in some random ass way. And so we put a bunch of work into this old ass truck. It's 1977, like Ford F-150. Shout out Mr. Mike. Fucking blessed us with the drift mobile. So we drove all the way around and we ended up in New Orleans. And I wouldn't say we got stuck there in a negative way. We got kind of sucked into like the vibe of the people and kind of a lot of stuff that was going on that we caught a glimpse of. And also did run out of money for sure. but we had a split option where we could have gone farther or stayed, and we decided to stay. And after a couple of weeks, I met Yves, who at the time I just started working with on his food truck. So we would just be hanging out every day doing random shit, and Cav would always pull up in his truck and eat some food and just talk, and we'd always like kind of hang out.
So what is it about New Orleans that kept you? Because I talked to quite a few people mm-hmm. while I was down there who aren't natives to the city, but yeah. kind of spoke to this gravitational pull. So what was the reason you stayed?
There's just like a very genuine vibe of the people that they aren't really putting on a front or any sort of like you know, fake anything. People are just true to themselves and seem like they're just gonna do them no matter what.
And Yves, if you could talk about what your role is in the collective too, because when I was down there, I noticed that you were kind of documenting everything that was going on at the party, and then you told me that you had the food truck, and I was like, I didn't expect for that to be part of a music collective, a dude with a food truck. So, like, if you could just kind of talk about, like, how you became part of the group, and that speaks to it being a community more in my eyes, that you could be a part of it and not even make music.
To keep it real funky, Vaz put me on a lot of music, like, just in general, like, just being around him. So it's like,
that's my dad's doing, my parents, really. I grew up in the French Quarter. I grew up in New Orleans, and being Latino, you always have, in New Orleans, you always have food around you. You know, you have music, culture. So me and my father opened a restaurant 4 years ago, and then me and Cab became friends. And he loved food, so I guess he probably why he really, really fuck with me every day. But I've always been into film, movies, photographs, documenting anything. So that's why I'm very passionate about like documenting it. Cause if not, then no one will.
Guys could kind of speak to the reception that you get from the community, not people that just do music, but just people that come to your events. Why do you think the Pink Room is valued so much?
It's a safe space, I guess. It's a space where people feel comfortable. It's a space where people feel like they're welcome. And it's a space where they could do shit they normally don't do. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got, like you said, they got hood kids dancing into some random ass house track, you know what I mean? Like, and then we got the house kids or the God kids turning up to ASAP Ferg. So it's just that dynamic and that balance that people need, but it's not there. So when we give it to them, they thirsty for it, they hungry for that shit, they need that shit. So it's like,
I just feel like with the weight of like society right now, like there's just so much going on. Like it's a lot of like tension. Like when we throw those parties, I felt like it was church. Like it was like people were like being freed, like motherfuckers jumping around, jumping off shit. Like it was just, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers be doing all type of shit. Like, you know, it just gets that energy.
Nothing stops the party in New Orleans, because that last night I was there. It's when that flood happened, and I was scared as hell. Like
I told you,
I was texting. I was texting Brandon. I'm like, "Yo, is this normal?" Like,
yeah, you were stuck at Willie.
I was stuck at Willie Mays.
Yeah, Willie.
I was stuck at Willie Mays, and the water started actually flooding the restaurant while I was in there eating. Like we had to go to the second floor of the restaurant, but then the water started coming in the second floor. So it's like cords plugged up. I'm like, shit, I'm about to get electrocuted. Like, I can't, like, but I'm looking outside and some people just like walking in the water, like knee deep, and there are people in canoes. But I got scared because I started asking the people in Willie Mays, was this normal? And they were like, nah, I never seen anything like this. Like, from straight up rain. How do you see the future of New Orleans when y'all have to constantly worry about these type of natural disasters? Like, I mean, that wasn't a disaster, but that wasn't normal.
That wasn't normal. To be real with you, I think they're going to fix it because they got too much money to lose. And honestly, the future of New Orleans, they're going to keep the future of New Orleans because the tourism is just popping. Like, they're not going to lose that money. The only thing I see killing New Orleans is if we just flood
another
uncontrollably
hurricane.
And the city just get wiped out. But as far as, like, the city trying to continue to keep it going and keep the money flow going, I mean, they're going to keep it popping. The French Quarter never floods. So, you know, you got to just learn how to deal with it and, you know, maneuver around that. We still threw a party that night.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy when I was down there. He was saying that Louisiana loses a football field of land like every couple hours to the Gulf.
Have you ever drove in? You got to go over swampland to get there. You
got to
go over swampland for like 30 minutes. It's all just swamp and dumb shit. You can't even build on it. You know what I'm saying?
It's
so 30
really
minutes
odd,
to get in the middle of New Orleans is just... It's just the land that it is, and if it rains, you know, it's a bowl, you know, surrounded by it.
Yeah. A bowl of eggs.
Bowl of eggs.
But yeah, but before I let y'all go, if you all could kind of just speak to what you hope the Pink Room's legacy will be, you know, 20 years from now when young people can look back and see, like, this was going on in New Orleans in the 2010s, because that's what it's going to be the 10s.
It's going to be the 10s.
Yeah.
It's going to be the 20s. It's going to be the 30s.
Right. I appreciate y'all, you know, making it up here to New York.
The Vice Magazine podcast is a production of Vice Media. This episode was produced and edited by Sophie Kazis. For more info on the podcast or how to subscribe to the magazine, visit vice.com. And be sure to subscribe to the Vice Magazine podcast on Apple Podcasts, Acast, or any podcast app that you use. Leave us a rating and review and let us know what you think. I'm Ellis Jones, and I'd like to give a special thanks to Lawrence Burney, Little Jodeci, Brandon Ares, Rick 50, and Yves. We'll be back next week with another episode. Thanks for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.